Comments from Wendell Stevens, the book's author. This was amazing. Enrique Carlos Rincon had received almost the same information from Pleiadians as was outlined to Edward Meyer in Switzerland by other Pleiadians only a little over a year later. The philosophy expressed and the criticism of our world deficiencies was almost identical, yet nothing had been released out of the Bogota group until sometime after the Swiss contacts began. Even more astounding was the receptivity of the UFO community over these momentous events unfolding before their very eyes. An international UFO Congress was gathered in Acapulco in 1978. That's the year I went there. The Yankees won the World Series that year. To assess the world UFO situation up to that time. It was well organized and well attended. One of the featured speakers at that Congress was Enrique Carlos Rincon, who very briefly described his contacts with Pleiadian ETs. His lecture was coolly received and politely put down by all the experts there, presumably because it had happened to him and not them. Jim Lawrenson of APRO, one of the stronger advocates of contactee phenomena at a time when most other clubs were throwing them out, sat next to Rincon at the speaker's table for 3 full days and never asked for more details on Rincon's contact experiences and never published anything on Rincon's report, although I had, by that time, briefed him on what I found happening in Switzerland. He didn't believe me, and he didn't believe Rincon. I never told him about any of the other Pleiadian cases I was encountering. He still refuses to accept any validity to any Pleiadian contact case. Open-minded. It was after that I discovered the Acaya contacts going on in Peru and learned that Pleiadian ETs were discussing almost the same spiritual philosophies and scenario of events concerning our world, and that witness was unaware of the other two, and they of him and his contacts. I knew nothing then of the Pleiadian contacts going on with Pedro Romanyuk in Argentina, or others with Deveris in Arkansas here in the USA, and again the philosophies and scenario of events was very similar. They all came under severe criticism for what they were revealing, and so they all began to hold back and release less and less to the world. That is the situation we are in today. Amazing indeed. The second meeting. The second meeting took place on the 18th of the same month as predicted, and I was gone 26 hours. And the knowledge that I gained was tremendous and very disturbing, and would completely fill a book by itself. There is much information that I cannot tell anyone, not even my friends, in this experience. I had gone to the place at the appointed time. It was Eastern Colombia. The circumstances of this meeting were a little different. I arrived 15 minutes early, by horse, with a guide whom I paid 120 pesos. He left me at the designated place, but was disturbed leaving me in the jungle alone at night. "They will pick me up here in a jeep," I said. "Ah, you're going to the ranch of the Fulanos de Tal," he said, and I answered, "Precisely. That is where I'm going." "No, I'm going on a spaceship with some aliens." "Really? De veras? But at these hours it is very dangerous here. There are tigers about." "Do not worry about me," I said. "Go in peace." I paid him, and he departed on his horse and left me there. And a tiger ate me. The meeting did not take place at 8 o'clock in the evening as indicated, but more like 3 o'clock in the morning. I walked 50 meters in this direction and 50 meters in that, but I did not leave the site. I kept looking in the clear and cloudless sky and waited until 3 o'clock when suddenly 13 spacecraft of Venus types arrived. Only one small descended and landed on 3 shoes. Krishnamurti disembarking, saying, "Brother, here." He told me to wait a minute, and then he said, "Now come on, enter." And I did as invited. Inside, there were two small beings, and they were not like those of the Pleiades. Meanwhile, back on the ground, a search party was dispatched. They must know different races. He told me that those did not come from the Pleiades, but from Mercury, and they took me in that small craft. The small craft sat on three legs and had a diameter of 4 to 5 meters and was no more than 2 meters 20 high. It had two levels inside. We now entered through a cabin that had a metal stair, like in submarines, that went to the upper level, which was the control room. I did not see much of the ship as they transported us to a mothership almost immediately. This card is really incredible. I did not want to ask why such a long wait, though I was thinking that I could have been attacked by a snake or a tiger. If I had been bitten by one of the poisonous snakes, where could I go in the 5 minutes I would have to do something? The same with the tiger. Then I remembered that I had not been bitten by even a mosquito. An impossibility, unless the zone was protected in some way. Then I thought that the reason for the long delay may have been a test of my patience. They did not tell me this, but I had the feeling that they had tested me to see how long my patience would last. I was happy that I had passed their test. They opened the port and lowered the ladder, and we left the ship. They explained that the two strange craft, very different from the others, with a bow structure something like a great whale, were relieving the smog and air pollution of Bogota. Nice. I saw another with a similar bow structure, and they said a ship like that was the whale that swallowed Jonah. These points of scripture kept coming up, and I thought, these extraterrestrials have certainly had contact with many of our prophets. This may lead us to a new concept of cosmic theology, as I told the Congress of Witchcraft, where mankind may become truly united with the superior entities, which we shall proudly call brothers, when we ascend to that understanding, when we make contact with these intelligences en masse. They did not let me off in the same place as they had picked me up this time. They left me much closer and near the highway. I asked them why they did not make contact with more people and with governments, and they said I would have an experience that would show me one reason why they were not doing this. It was getting daylight and must have been around 5:30 in the morning when they brought me in the small craft with the three crew members to let me off. In the farms of the plains, many people get up early to feed their animals and milk cows. The small craft made a circle over some people below. There were two men milking cows in a small shed behind a house. They saw the bright light and jumped up. The cow kicked one and also knocked over the pail of milk, and both men ran like they had seen the devil. We shot up rapidly behind some clouds where they couldn't see us. Then the farmer came out and the two men pointed up, moving their arms excitedly. A woman came out, drying her hands, and a child of about 8 years old. And they all looked up, but couldn't see anything. We were still in the cloud. "Observe their reaction," said one. "Yes, no need to explain. We have caused a panic." "But these people are farmers," I said. "Now we will try an experiment with slightly different people," the ET said. As we flew to the highway, where we saw a truckload of cattle approaching, we let it pass on. Behind it was a jeep, which we also let pass. Then came a pickup and an automobile, very close together, 100 to 120 meters apart. We let them pass. "There comes a car alone. There is no other within kilometers," the ET said. We took a position above and held so that I could see. I could see through an electronic apparatus, which they had, that inside the auto were two men with suit coats and soft ties. One was driving while the other sat at his side talking. In the rear seat, another man had his collar turned up and was sleeping. The gentlemen seemed to be cultured, middle-class people from their dress and the appearance of their car. We descended in front and hovered alongside the road. They were so surprised to see us, so unexpectedly, that the two men in the front opened their doors to exit running. This doesn't prove anything, except that when people are isolated, that they panic. That's true. Especially if you see something in the sky and you feel like you're the only one that sees it, you feel a little bit afraid. But if you go on national television and you speak and everyone becomes aware that aliens exist, and now it's universally accepted, then all that scare is gone. And aliens ought to know that. This is baloney. The other, knowing nothing of what was taking place, fell off the seat when the driver hit the brakes. He stuck his head out the window and yelled something because I saw his mouth open. When he saw our craft parked above and to the side, he got out running and tore his coat trying to scramble through a barbed wire fence. That is the reaction of everyone, said my companion. Do you think that answers the question? Brothers, I said, though I know that I am with you, and this is the second time we have met, and knowing that you are living beings much advanced in evolution, there are many things which I still do not understand. I hope that in time I may be able to do so. I feel very honored and considerably humbled. They continued giving me information up to the last experience in Peru. New meeting. That took place on the 25th of July, 1974, when Guadalupe and Montserrat, professed spacemen, met me in Bogota. It was about 5 in the morning, and I spent 45 minutes in a spacecraft talking to them. We remained on the ground in the spacecraft and did not fly. This craft rested on 3 feet and was one of the Adamski type, but much smaller. It was not very big. This craft could not have been more than 9 meters in diameter and no more than 2 meters 80 in height. Those spacemen that I saw then were no more than 1.5 meters tall. All of them were alike, light-colored, and looked much like those of the Pleiades, but smaller. I have seen others from Orion, Orton, Yamura, Yanaka, Yaraka, and other places. I never heard of any of them, except Orion. Some of them also had no women with them. That's because they like Earth chicks. In the second encounter on the 18th of November, I saw 2 women, and very beautiful they were, for a few minutes. They were only beautiful for a few minutes. Oh, gosh, this writer is so funny. In the second encounter of the 18th of November, I saw 2 women for a few minutes. They were very beautiful. And I saw at that time on the mothercraft a very strange being. I could not tell whether it was human or an automation, but they permitted me to see it. When I was walking with them in the ship, an automatic port opened, and one of them passed by. It had a large head like a basketball and a transparent case. I thought I could see the brains and the veins and the organs, and the eyes were large and moved like those of an iguana and could look on all sides. It walked like it was a robot, with a thin gray uniform and boots and gauntlets of a dark blue and some colored buttons at the waist, which was thin like a woman. Not all women. Which, with their broad shoulders, gave them a triangular aspect. The door opened. There was a light, and it entered. We all turned to look as I continued talking to them. I did not ask about it. For the first time, I saw a kind of symbol on its back, at the shoulder. Up to this time, I had not seen any kind of mark or symbol. This was the first I had seen, and it was very strange. I had tried to draw the symbol since then, but I have forgotten one of the upper parts. It was a kind of an H, but it had something else above it, and I can't remember what it was. I had the feeling that they had let me see this creature to know that such did exist. I saw also a gigantic being of 2.80 meters, whom they told me was Jovian. He never spoke to me. He always kept his hands crossed. He watched me with a smile the whole time and never said a single word. He seemed to understand all. A strange thing happened with my ballpoint pen. I took out my pen to sketch the solar system for a question that had come from an anonymous letter delivered to the newspaper El Tiempo of Bogota. The writer had allegedly made contact with beings that looked like Hindus, who operated a flying saucer. They told him that they came from a planet similar to Earth, that it was Earth's twin, and occupied the same orbit but on the opposite side of the sun, for which we never saw it. I wanted to ask if there was such a possibility, and I took out my pen and paper to sketch the orbit and see if I could make them understand. When I produced the pen, they all displayed great curiosity, especially the Jovian. Krishnamurti told me to let him see it. He took it apart and examined it and then gave it back. I asked him why the pen was of such interest, and Krishnamurti said, "It is because we have one very similar, but you must see it." And they produced one fastened to a line to the table, so nobody steals it. "Write something. Here are papers." I took the pages, which were almost transparent, and paused over them. "Write what you like. Make a sketch." Then this happened. They asked me if I could paint the house where I lived as a child, if I could remember it, and I said yes. "But paint it." "I can't even draw it," I said. "Make anything," I said. "I painted a butterfly when I was a little boy in school." And they said, "Do that then." So I began pressing the point, which was finer than ours, but the moment I pressed the button, the pen began to vibrate in my hand. And I heard a small sound and felt a slight vibration, but the most surprising thing came the moment I began drawing the butterfly. It came out in relief and in exact colors. I stared, "But how is this possible?" And they laughed and explained, "Whatever you have in your mind is captured and sketched exactly as you think it, in colors, and in exact scale and size. This apparatus captures exactly the vibration, the color, the size of what you think, and produces it accurately." Amazing. Amazing. We have to get some of those. "The apparatus receives the vital image and translates it then into a sketch." I was stupefied, and then I understood their interest in my pen, which looked similar. After that, on the 24th and 25th of December 1974, they took me to an energy vortices in the Andes. I was in Caracas, attending a conference, when they contacted and arranged a meeting. I boarded the spacecraft between two small villages near Caracas. One is called El Huequito, and the other, where many Germans live, is called Colonia Tovar. Colonia means neighborhood. I don't know what a Huequito is. From there, they took me to the Vortis 5 minutes. It was in the uplands of Peru, at 4,200 meters altitude. Well, that's got to be 13,000 feet, between Marcahuasi and Machu Picchu. These beings have submarine bases in Lake Titicaca under the seas. I was taken to one of the bases in the Mariana Trench. That's the deepest ocean in the world. You have to be kidding me. I'm writing a science fiction story to be able to detail what is going on in the marine depths. Why science fiction? Nobody's going to believe it. They're going to think it's science fiction. By some manner, I'm going to give this information to the world. By science fiction? And I believe the time has come, and we are going to make, together with others in Venezuela, kind of census of the public, of their opinions concerning flying saucers. Well, more than half now believe in them, so it's time to forget about science fiction, bring this forward as truth, personal testimony, and let's give it to the world directly. If they accept them, we want to know why. If they do not accept them, we also want to know why. This will serve to measure the information that can be released of that which we have. Little by little, we hope to give this information to the world, as much as it can accept, to prepare them for the day when they shall also experience the UFOs, hoping that they will not panic, and that they will be a little bit prepared for what will happen. One may look around and see that we have availed ourselves of little of the vast amount of knowledge and experience we could have enjoyed. I like that pen. Even this little was too much for many, and for most of the UFO clubs. Boy, what a broad-minded group they are. Witness the treatment any contactee gets once he decides to reveal even a little of what is happening to him. He would be better off to have said nothing and to avail himself to these experiences in silence, which is exactly what most of them do after their first experience with the public. We may state that these experiences have gone on for years, and the descriptions and the dialogue up to now would fill volumes. The undersea base in the Pacific alone would take a whole volume to describe. There's one reason why we don't know this stuff, and that's leaders. Leaders who lead us astray. Leaders who lead us to failure, not victory. We need to become part of the galactic community and exchange technology. I want that pen. We have undertaken the task of translating Enrique Castillo Rincon's full report on his contacts from the original Spanish to English for your enlightenment. Our work title for that report is UFO Contact from Xi El Lo, the name which they called their home sun, somewhere in what we call the Pleiades. Well, I have heard that most Pleiadians are not from the Pleiades. They're from a star system 80 light years past the Pleiades. But we are more familiar with the Pleiades, and that's the general direction. Maybe that's why they allow us to call them people from the Pleiades. El Tocoyo, Venezuela. During 1977 to 1979, before moving from Venezuela to Puerto Rico, Ramon Rosa Alvarado had a series of unique experiences as an observer in a local Venezuelan UFO group, which was being contacted by UFO nauts who told the local contactee there that they came from the Pleiades. At that time, Alvarado and his wife were living near Ciudad El Tocuyo, Distrito Morán, Venezuela, in a sugarcane growing district. Reports of strange disc-shaped aerial objects were occurring almost every night. They would be seen approaching from below the crest of a small, sparsely vegetated mountain above the sugarcane field, and would fly about in the sky in all directions in a random fashion. Word had gotten out about the almost nightly visits, and people from all around began coming to the area to witness the phenomenon. You see? People are not afraid. They're coming to see it. They just want to know in advance that it's an alien ship, and then they come to see it. Maybe they're scared when they get there, but they're coming to see it. Does that tell you anything? One night around 8 p.m., Alvarado and his wife watched many different colored, glowing objects of luminous disc form flying shelter over the cornfields. I don't know what that means, flying shelter over the cornfields. They were of blue, green, and amber radiance, and were estimated to be 15 to 20 feet in diameter. Feet or meters? Ramon counted 25 such craft on this occasion. Some of them approached quite closely, and some hovered lowly over the cane tops, that sugar cane tops, and in other places only a couple of feet above the ground. The upper level of these operations was only about 400 to 500 feet above the ground surface. On this particular night, the witnesses saw a large number of shiny silver metallic balls, non-luminous but highly reflective, also flying around in the dark sky. What are they reflecting in the dark sky? Though these spheres were not luminous, they could nevertheless be easily seen in the light of the other disc-shaped UFOs. Oh. The balls reflected the many lights of the larger craft flying about. There may have been as many as several dozen such shiny balls, only a few inches to a few feet in diameter in several sizes. These silver balls kept moving rapidly and did not stop and hover like the luminous disc-shaped larger craft. Well, that's a weird sight. On another night, a few weeks later, Ramon and his wife joined a group of about 80 people who had come to witness the phenomenon. It was a Wednesday evening. The objects seemed to be most active in midweek. That's because aliens have the weekends off. And they had seen the lights below the top of the large hill. Suddenly they saw three of the blue and green 15 to 20 foot diameter glowing disc-shaped flying objects about 400 to 500 meters to the north of their position. The objects were situated one over the river to the north near the left road, another to the right of dead center between the two roads, and a third over the cornfield across the road to the right. As one of the witnesses started down the road to the left with a jeep to get closer, the one to the far right began to approach up the right road. Alvarado and his wife were standing to the right, and the light came slowly toward them. Suddenly a ball of white light, about 1 meter in diameter, burst into view in front of them and began to fly a tight vertical circle about 12 to 15 meters in diameter, only a few feet away. Why does he keep mixing up the units, meters and feet? Mrs. Alvarado fainted from fright. Then a much larger round glow of light came on in the distance, across the river toward the hill. It must have been huge because all of the disc-shaped craft and the white ball of light raced toward it and went inside, and the whole thing rose and flew away as one object. Before they departed, however, the disc-shaped luminous craft on the right that was approaching up the road stopped, and an array of horizontal light beams of several colors, including blue, green, violet, amber, and orange, came on top of the object and radiated out horizontally. Then they began to rotate like helicopter blades in a counterclockwise direction, looking up or looking down. Anyway, these light beams blinked out before this object went toward the larger light in the distance and went into it. There was a principal witness in that vicinity whom these alien visitors picked up and contacted directly. They addressed the contactee in his native Spanish, but they conversed among themselves in another language. When he asked what language it was, they called it Urdum. They said it was a Proto-Sumerian tongue used long ago on Earth by their predecessors here, and that most other languages used on Earth today were derived from it. They said that their ancestors came from what we call the Pleiades. The space beings said that they lived lifespans of 1,000 to 1,200 years of our time in a single physical embodiment. Oh, Methuselah died young. They said that they lived simultaneously in the three dimensions we normally think of, plus a fourth dimension we know very little about at the present time. They said that the laws of the fourth dimension are entirely different, and that the speed of light in our dimension does not apply in the physics there. They said that they simply shift all matter up to the fourth dimensional state, and the laws of time and space change. They have offered scores of detailed descriptions on very scientific subjects, including other dimensions and other beings. Alvarado estimated the contact notes and the dialogue he has seen amounted to several hundred pages. I want to see this. I was wondering how they were able to travel 328 light-years in the blink of an eye. These Pleiadians, like those visiting Switzerland, also describe two other planets in our solar system not familiar to us today. They called one of them Nemus and the other Sirius. These are our spellings from the phonetics used. They said that these planets will be found in orbits between what we call Neptune and Pluto. How could that be? Pluto sometimes is inside the orbit of Neptune. The visitors to Switzerland said they were both beyond the orbit of Pluto. The visitors to Achaia said that one was inside and the other one outside the orbit of Pluto. We are unable to account for these disparities. However, the fact that all spoke of only two may be significant. They all mentioned undiscovered moons for the subsuns Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, and they have now been proved to be correct in 3 out of 4, and one still to be surveyed by close observation. They all said that there were many inhabited planets in the vast Pleiades systems. They were all aware of other human and non-human visitors to our planet at this time, and each was in active contact with some of those others. This is the last card for Chapter 7. A friend of one of the sugar farmers, Guillermo Torres, of Hacienda Las Cruz, near Ciudad El Tocoyo, successfully photographed one of the larger ships visiting this locality. It is seen as a large lens-shaped circular craft with a wide, low-profile, transparent, translucent dome on top. It occasionally radiates light from the rim, and some of this light is seen in the photograph. The skin surface of the craft seems to be matte gray in color and has a brushed metal finish. Two craft were an estimated 400 meters away when the picture was made. They all operated used or shared bases of limited accessibility in high mountain peaks and in equally inaccessible underwater locations. This is the end of Chapter 7.